Welcome back. You're here with Dave and Faisal on 770 CHQR and More Than Money. We're going to talk a little bit about economics and money today. We're almost halfway through the year, I suppose, Faisal. And you know what? It's been an eventful year already. We've had lots going on, even just in the last little while. And we've got a terrific guest to help make some sense of this, of sort of what the year has been so far and where we think we might end up over the next 6 to 12 months. That's Benjamin Tall, Deputy Chief Economist at CIBC World Markets. Benny, welcome to the show.
A pleasure. Thank you.
Okay. I think we have had an eventful year, at least most investors that we talk to. You know, that there's lots of headlines, there's lots of news, tons of noise, and we're trying to figure out sort of where we've been and where we're going. And maybe if I can start the conversation, Benny, with just a bit of a recap of the first, four and a half months of this year, and your thoughts. How did it shape up relative to what you were thinking at the beginning of the year?
Yes, you know what, a lot of surprises, and you know what, we can have a brilliant economic analysis here, and one tweet will change everything, as you all know. So the volatility in the market is something crazy, and we are trying to normalize the abnormal. You know, we saw NAFTA, you know, being accomplished to an extent. That was not a big surprise, and that was a positive. Clearly, we expected some noise with China, and until two months ago, it was actually very surprising that, you know, they were saying that they would be very close to an agreement, and then, of course, Trump tweeted, and everything is gone. So I think now we are back to what I expected to happen, which is not going to be very pretty with China. And I think that, of course, the trade dispute between China and the U.S. is much more important than NAFTA or NAFTA 2. And if we have a full-scale trade war between those two countries, we have a global recession. So it's a big story. Clearly, the first half of the year in Canada was not very strong, no big surprise, a bit weaker than the Bank of Canada expected. We haven't seen business investment recovering, and we have seen the housing market slowing down, and that's why we have seen a significant change in the language coming from the Fed and from the Bank of Canada. In November of last year, just November of last year, both central banks were telling us that they're going to move by, let's say, 100, 125 basis points. Mm-hmm. Now we are talking about cutting interest rates, not raising interest rates. So a huge difference in language and the way those central banks are looking at the economy in general.
So Benny, how does that change in just 6 to 7 months? We have seen an about face of tightening to now easing and potentially even more quantitative easing of buying bonds from the European Central Bank. Like, how does that happen so quickly?
Yeah, that's a very good question. And I think that the number one issue is the trade dispute with China. This is big. This is big. You know, the market was operating under the assumption that there would be some sort of an agreement. And, you know, even Trump told us 2 months ago that by June we will sign something. And then, of course, something happened and it's not going as well as expected. And again, the market is terrified of the consequences of a trade dispute between the U.S. and China. So that's one aspect. And if you wish, we can talk a little bit more about it, because I think any investor has to have a working assumption about this dispute and what it means for the market as a whole. In addition, we haven't seen the economy recovering in any significant way. In Europe, Italy just celebrated its third recession in 10 years. GDP growth in Germany was basically zero over the past 6 months. So no surprise that they're talking about another wave of quantitative easing over there. And here in Canada, we haven't seen really a situation in which exports took over domestic activity like housing and consumption. And the Bank of Canada has been waiting for this rotation for about 2 years. It's not happening. Again, maybe related to the trade issue and the uncertainty that is impacting the psyche of Canadian CEOs. And in the background, yes, the labor market is on fire, but wages are not rising. And therefore, both central banks don't have to worry too much about inflation, allowing them to talk about cutting interest rates.
So, Benny, you lobbed us a softball there that I want to run with a little bit, and that is we have lots of conversations with investors about what exactly does this trade dispute between China and the U.S. look like, where could it go, and what should they be keeping an eye on? So maybe we've got some time here. Maybe we can spend a little bit of time and have you just expand on that particular challenge and its potential implications?
Yes. First of all, I don't see it as a trade war. I see it as a war against China's development, especially in technology. Basically, we have a situation in which Trump is trying to keep China down when it comes to technology, preventing them from becoming a mega power in the technology space. I think that's basically the hidden agenda. China has something called Made in China 2025. They basically have a date, 2025, and they have a list of high-tech sectors, including artificial intelligence and robotics, and they basically say, we, China, by 2025, we want to control the global economy when it comes to those forces in the high-tech sector. That's their goal, and they've been going at it for the past few years, buying a lot of American technology, Canadian technology, M&A activity, investing heavily in this space. So the first wave of the tariff that was imposed by Trump on China was not on T-shirts going to Walmart, but rather on Made in China 2025. This is a brilliant, brilliant trade policy. Basically, what Trump is doing is attacking China where China is vulnerable. It's future. And that's basically the hidden agenda. It's a brilliant, brilliant trade policy. Maybe he has no clue about it, but it is advisors. Whatever it is a very strong, effective trade policy. And the Chinese know that. The Chinese know that this is really the agenda. The second wave of tariff still focus on high tech and high value added goods and services. And then the third wave, if it's going with it, will be on consumer goods. So that's more or less where we are. Now, the question is, what will be the reaction coming from China? And China, I believe, will take a very long-term view. They think in terms of generations as opposed to, you know, quarters.
Quarters, yeah.
And they basically say, you know, Trump is a blip. Trump will go away. We'll ride this wave. We simply have to buy time. Eventually, we'll get to this 2025. Let's call it 35. So I think that's more or less the way they are operating. And how do you buy time? You stimulate the economy to ease the pain. You use the currency as a weapon. The currency is now down by 7%, the Chinese currency, the yuan. This is huge because Trump is imposing a 10% tariff. It's really only 3% after the tariff. So they are using all kinds of tricks to buy time and hopefully to get some sort of an agreement that everybody will be happy with. So what is a reasonable working assumption? We must have one. And I think that a working assumption is that there will be some sort of an agreement. Both sides will save face because Trump needs this agreement as well before the elections. And the Chinese would like to save face within the Communist Party and give Trump something that he will be happy with. And I think basically that's what we are going to see over the next 6 to 8 months. It's going to be a very, very cold agreement. And we are already in some sort of a cold war when it comes to technology. This is just the beginning. Mm-hmm. And I would not be surprised that there will be the emergence of two trading blocks over the next few years, which has major implications because in a cold war, other countries have to choose sides.
Right.
We will have to choose sides.
And so I think let's pause really there, Benny, Let's pause there for a second because that's a sort of a great tease to the next segment. Let's talk about the implications of what that may look like. And also, I'd love to talk a little bit about Canada, our pipelines, and the impact it's going to have. So stick around after the break for that. But before we go to break, Faisal, we should remind everybody that we've got an upcoming seminar we'd like to invite everybody to.
With everything that Benny's talking about, all the issues that are out there, how do you grow your portfolio? More importantly, how do you protect your income in retirement? We're going to walk you through that solution on Tuesday, July 23rd, 7 p.m. at the Four Points Sheraton Hotel in the west side of Calgary. You need to reserve your seats. So give us a call at 966-8400. That's 966-8400. Or go to our website at morethanmoneyradio.com.
All right. If you're interested to understand the impacts of pipelines for Canada, stick around after the break. You're on 770 CHQR and More Than Money.